covers my sin. Each time I come into your presence, I stand in wonder once again.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are joining our live feed from. This is the Present Truth Talk Show channel, where we have been giving in-depth discussion on the Adult Cyber School Quarterly for 2023 calendar year. And we have walked through this path by the grace of God, and we've discussed several of these lessons. I hope that you are taking lessons as to this nugget that we are sharing. We are on lesson 9, and it is captioned "A City Called Confusion." A city called confusion. What is this city that we're talking about? Before we give you clues, we give you the characteristics of this city of confusion. We have a city of God, Zion, the New Jerusalem, as against the city of confusion. You don't want to be in a city of confusion. You want to be in a city full of the flavor, full of brightness, the glory of God in an Edenic setting. That is where you want to actually be. So before we start, we will ask Brother Damian to pray for us and to commit discussion and our listeners online and our viewers into the hands of God. Brother Damian, kindly pray for us.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, we just want to thank you for your wonderful words of life. And as we meet on this platform to discuss together, not just for our own edification, but for the edification of the viewers and listeners online, we pray, Lord, that you'll send your Holy Spirit with us on this platform to be with us with our discussions, with those who are viewing, with those who are listening, Lord, to give them a clear understanding of the discussion of your written word. And we pray, Lord, that you will touch each and every person as they go through the summary of their day's lesson. Thank you for this word that you have given us in these last days, and may it draw us into a closer relationship with you now, we pray. Be with the technical issues that arise at times, and just cover this platform and this program that it may reach many. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
I will give us the introduction to the lesson. Let us read our memory text from Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. And we're taking our text from the New King James Version of the Bible. "These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of the Lords and King of the Kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful." Theme is summarized in Revelation with a symbolism of two women, one clothed with the sun in Revelation chapter 12, and one dressed in scarlet in Revelation chapter 17. The striking symbol of the woman clothed with the sun in the dazzling glory of Christ is found in Revelation chapter 12. She is faithful to her true lover, Jesus. She is not defiled with the corruption of false doctrines. Throughout the Bible, a pure woman symbolizes the bride of Jesus, or the true church. You read in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 2. "I have likened the daughter of Zion to a lovely and delicate woman." The prophet uses the expression "daughter of Zion," or a faithful woman, to describe God's people. You can also read in Ephesians chapter 2, 25 to 32, and Hosea chapter 2, verse 20, that bring this symbolism of a woman likened to a church into perspective. And in our previous lesson, we did a very good analysis on this particular topic. In contrast, the Bible likens an apostasy to harlotry or adultery or whoredom. That's in James chapter 4, verse 4. Speaking of Israel's rebellion and unfaithfulness. Ezekiel laments, "You are an adulterous wife who takes strangers instead of her husband." And who is the husband? Is Jesus. This is Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 32. In this lesson, we are going to study these two systems of religion, or you can call them women of revelation, and probe the conflict between truth and error, and more deeply, a graphic portrayal of an apostate system of religion that has a powerful influence on the world. Drunk is always a negative connotation in the Bible, which represents fornication and symbolizes false teachings, doctrines, and practices. To search for an understanding of the nature of the Babylon that we're talking about, remember, one of the angels in Revelation chapter 14 tells us to come out of Babylon, a city of confusion, a system of false religion, and a system of false doctrines. We need to go back to its first reference in the Bible records in Genesis chapter 11. This is taken from the book of Angel Manuel Rodriguez. He continues, "It all began on the plain of the land of Shinar, a region in the southern part of Mesopotamia, today's South Iraq, called Babylon." Today, if you want to find where this ancient city is located and the historical records are there, it's modern day Iraq. The closing of the cosmic conflict is with us. We are to remember that the men of Noah's generation claimed that their idols were representation of the deity, that through them, the people could obtain a clearer conception of the divine being. This is one of the spurious doctrines that the world has come to embrace. And people embrace this kind of image worship, and they claim, as the antediluvians claim, that it's a representation of the divine. God cannot be represented by these images. True religion is an obedience to the commandments of God. We need to enter into his purpose and carry out his will, saying with a whole heart, "Lord, what will thou have me do?" We must put on every piece of the heavenly armor consisting of the Bible studies, very arduous prayer, and occasional fasting. We need to arduously pray and fast occasionally and read our Bible always to overcome these deceptions while standing firm for Christ. Rectitude in all things is essential to the warfare of the soul. He who searches the heart desires to win his people from every species of idolatry. Let the word of God, the blessed book of life, occupy the tables now filled with useless ornaments. Remember, don't look for the most popular, convenient way or via political correctness towards true worship, but let the Bible be the only way. Let the book, let us look for the Bible as a way. As on, we should contrast the false and sad Calvinistic doctrine of predestination or God's selection. God decide beforehand who is to be saved and who is to be lost. This is total error. Let's ignore this kind of spurious doctrine, because God has given us freedom of choices and conscience. The Jewish miss it, and they use and position themselves as a race, as a chosen race, and all other people were lost. And that led to their doom in AD 34, when they totally rejected the word that was sent to them, who was Christ. We will look at these four systems that we're talking about. We're looking at two contrasting systems that we are told they are going to be the deciders. Either you are in one of the systems or you are in the other. So Elder Mike, know what these two contrasting systems are. And as the lesson proceeds, I will give you the clues to identify these hallows, this false worship, this geopolitical system, this mystery of Babylon. It's not a city somewhere, please. It's not a kind of system you have portrayed. And I'll be telling you how people will be misled to believe in these theologies that the devil is actually using just to shield this false religious system that is taking the whole world by storm. So Elder, kindly take over and help us understand these two contrasting systems that we are told to know and make a decision. Elder, take over.
Thank you very much, Edda, for the privilege to lead the topic Two Opposite Systems. As you said, I really appreciate the foundation that you've laid for the introductory part of this lesson. But quickly on the part of historical background to this message. In history, we are told that there was a certain Roman emperor called Trajan. We are told that he visited Babylon in 116, and soon after that, John wrote the book Revelation. So he found only ruins. Therefore, John was not talking about the literal city of Babylon. And I really appreciate that, because I heard you quoting this at the ending part of your introductory. So let's take a time and look at the book Genesis chapter 11, verse 9. Because this session is just for summary, I will entreat listeners to take a look and read the book Genesis chapter 11. Let's look at the 9. The verse 9 gave an account that Babylon means confusion. In the end time, a religious system will mix truth and then lies. That's causing confusion. So whenever there is chaos or confusion, you can see two opposite forces trying to mingle or forcing themselves together. That's equally means confusion. So I want us to look the book Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, and the book Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. There we can figure out these two forces. In the book Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, and Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, find a spiritual war going on. Some power seems to fight in the Lamb of God, that is Christ, but it is also seeks to overcome the woman or the church. If we look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23, I read, "For a husband has authority over his wife, just as Christ is himself the savior of the church, his body." So we can see here that these two opposing forces, that's good and evil, as different as night and day. As we can to compare day versus night, that's the same to what we are learning this afternoon or this evening, that we have two contrasting or two opposing systems. That's Christ and then the Satan or the devil. So many seem to be deceived and don't fully know whose side they are on. Each and every person believe or know that you can't be in the middle. It's either you go for the left or the right. This confusion has been carefully strategized by Satan, who is an expert of blending truth with error, making it difficult to determine what is truth. As a normal human being like myself, if I'm to deal with these forces, I have to be spiritual, I have to be prayerful, I have to study the word of God. And although the ancient Babylon or this ancient city of Babylon has long ago been destroyed, and its pagan religious practices that has become a symbol of false worship in the world. The woman in the book Revelation 17, verse 1 to 6, we are told that she was dressed in purple and scarlet and riding on a scarlet. That is called a harlot, because she has left her true lover, Jesus Christ, and committed fornication, symbolic of the false doctrines and practices she promotes. So listeners and viewers, this lesson is giving us two opposing forces or two contrasting systems, Jesus and then the devil. The devil or Satan has many times tried to let God's people know that what he has, the package that he has for God's people, is the best. And on the other side, Jesus or the Lamb of God also has given us everything that we take to know that his system is the best. As I said earlier on, it's between you and your God. Either you go for the devil side or you go for the Jesus side. This lesson has been elements for all of us. This lesson has been able to give us the understanding that we have two forces at the moment, the Jesus side or the devil side. And as this channel will always admonish our viewers, we should go for the right choice, and that's the Lamb of God. We shouldn't go, we shouldn't decide, or we shouldn't follow the devil. If by doing that, the next lesson will tell us our next destination. If you go for Jesus' side too, the next lesson will tell us next destination. So by concluding my submission, I want to lead with our viewers and listeners that it's been difficult to figure out by yourself the right choice and the bad choice. Why? Because things seem similar. And then we have so many excuses that we always give when it comes to worship, when it comes to selecting the best choice. The devil is the master plan for that. And he is very expert at blending truth with error. So no matter your level in Christianity, no matter your level in the faith, if you are not careful, if you don't pray and let God decide for you, listeners, this will be a tough decision ever in our life. And I pray that the Lord bless us so that we will figure out the right system. There are two. Which one are we going for? And I will conclude with this. The pure woman is a symbol of religious system based on the truth. In the end time, the world will follow Babylon and will harass the faithful remnant or God's people, but Babylon will fail. I want to take lead for this messages. I just want to end it here. But the whole lesson here is that we have two systems. Which one are we going for? Don't forget that the pure woman is a symbol of religious system, but the one who is harlot, the word harlot itself is filthy. So the one who is harlot, I decide and I will pray that we won't follow that system, but rather let's follow the one with pure woman. And that symbolizes a religious system based on the truth. One important message that I want to leave our listeners is that, trust me, and we should trust the word of God, that Babylon will fall, as the third angel's message says. May the Lord bless us and keep us in his mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Elder, for giving us the perspective on the two religious systems. I promised I was going to give the key or the characteristics of this false religious system. I'm going to give you two clues as the lesson proceeds. There are 10 of them. I'll be giving you the clues as the lesson unfolds. One, it is a geopolitical power, that is church and state mingled, or church and state system. Is the smallest country in the world with all the clouds and pomposity that it can lead. It fornicates with the kings, leaders, the systems, and the global powers, shaping global agendas and embracing every religious system, including Gaia worship or Earth worship and polytheism. Elder talked about we choosing side, but this system tried to mingle truth with error. It mingles false worship with true worship, and that is known as syncretism. Mingling Bible with false doctrines does not make that correct. So these are the two first characteristics. And we invite our second speaker, Elder Oliver, to help us understand what is this wine? What does wine actually represent? And when people are drunk with wine, what actually happens? We know within the literal system. Elder, help us in a spiritual system, in a symbolic system. What do these symbols actually represent?
Thank you, Elder. And thank you, Elder Michael, for setting the tone. Now we're talking about the wine of the wrath. Already, the previous speakers have talked about the contrast that we see in scripture. From the very beginning, there has been, after of Lucifer, there has been two forces. And there have been, at any given time, two contrasting teachings or two contrasting forces. We know of Cain and Abel. We know about the sons of men versus the daughters of God. We know about Egypt versus Canaan. Now we are learning about Babylon versus Jerusalem or Zion. But on Monday's lesson, we are learning about the truth versus error. When we talk of wine, we are talking about the imbibed messages or teachings, which can either be good or bad. So good wine is grape juice, unfermented. And this juice is good. And represents the true teachings. While the wine of the wrath or the wine of her fornication, we are going to look at what kind of teaching is this. Now, we are taking it up from Revelation chapter 17, verse 1 and 2, which says, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot, who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Verse 15 says, then he said to me, the waters which you saw, where the harlot sits, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So the Bible is very clear that there is this harlotry woman in chapter 17. Thanks, Elder, heard about the pure woman in Revelation chapter 12. And in chapter 17, we are talking about the harlot. That is the apostate church. Now, she sits on many waters, verse 2. And according to verse 15, the waters represent the multitudes, the nations, the people, the tongues, or many people in general. So talking of a system, a religious system, as the elder said, a political religious system that sits or that influences many people. The Bible goes on to say that she fornicates with the kings of the earth. That is, there is a combination of the religious system and the political system. You know, when we talk about fornication in Bible prophecy, we're talking about idolatry, worship of other gods, the mixing of the profane and the holy. This kind of a system we are talking about here mixes political issues and religious issues. It's a religio-political system. And she makes the political systems enforce her doctrines. You may recall in the Dark Ages back then that many Christians, many were massacred through this system. It uses the political powers because it fornicates with the political leaders, meaning there is a close connection between this system and the political leaders of this world, to the extent that the political leaders, they pay homage to this religious system. And whatever this religious system says to the political leaders, they obey and they do. Now, verse 6 says, she is drunk with the blood of saints. If you read from Revelation chapter 17, verse 6. And I have already said, over 50 million Jews were killed, 50 million Christians were killed during the Dark Ages to make this system drunk with the blood of saints. So while it is a religious system, it is known for punishing those who go against its teachings. Now, I want us to just look at a few, maybe five, of the wine or the deceptions that this system has brought into Christendom or into religion. The first one, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, referring to the little horn, which is the same as this Babylon we are talking about here. She shall think to change times and laws. She teaches the traditions of men, as it is written in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, as opposed to the doctrine of God. So what kind of wine has this system or this woman, this apostate woman, put in the religious circles? The first one is that she teaches that salvation is earned by merit. You have to work for your salvation, including paying indulgences. And if you go and read about the history of the Christian church, you understand that there's one specific system that allowed people to pay indulgences so that they can even pay in advance for them to sin. And that is very wrong, because it's only the blood of Jesus, verse 7, that can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it is by grace that you are saved, not by works, lest others may boast, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. This system changed the Sabbath, or thinks of changing the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. They cannot change it, although they claim to change it. So the Sabbath rest, according to the commandment, is on Saturday. But this system, using its power, its religious power, changed the solemnity of the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. But thank God there are still people who still worship on God's holy day. The other thing they have done is to promote the doctrine of the immortality of the soul. This is part of the wine of the wrath that this system has introduced. Immortality of the soul, they just say that the spirit of the dead lives on. When one is dead, their spirit goes into purgatory and they go into other forms of life. But the Bible clearly states in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5 to 6, that the living know that they shall die, but the dead know nothing. Another wine they introduced is the worship of images, the veneration and the worship of images. If you go to their places of worship, you see that there are images all over. And that's why if you check in their religious documents and in their Bibles, there is no second commandment which says that thou shalt not bow down to graven images. Even in their teachings, they do not want the people to know that it is a sin to worship images. Then I'll end with this one. They teach that priests should mediate between men and God. Yet the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, that there is only one mediator between God and man. That's Christ Jesus. Jesus is the only mediator. We can also read from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. When Jesus died on the cross, we learned in previous lessons that the curtain that divided the holy from the most holy place was torn, meaning that the ministration of earthly priests ended with the death of Jesus. It's now Jesus who is standing between us and the Father. But the most important thing is the call that is given in chapter 18, verse 4 of Revelation, where the Bible says, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. So God has his people who are still in Babylon, who are still in confusion, but he's calling them out. He doesn't want them to perish together with this harlot. Come out of confusion. Come out of here, my people. That's the call. Amen. Back to you, Elder.
Amen. Powerful call. Powerful call. Let me add to what he just mentioned. We are on clue number three. The whole world will wonder after that false church and its prominent leaders. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 8 and 13. But will later hate her, that whore, when they realize that he's been deceived. But it might be too late. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 16, please take time and read this text. It has daughters of false apostate Protestant churches and movements. It is dangerous to place our religious experience in the hands of any spiritual leader. Chapter 13, verse 13, it is dangerous to place our religious experience in the hands of any religious leader. It claims to have the power to forgive sins as human beings, as priests, as mediators, instead of Jesus Christ. Another has given biblical texts telling us that there's only one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. That is what Paul, in his letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. You can also read in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. And I add, it elevates Marian worship, that Mary is even superior than the Son. And that if you want to get any favors, you have to pass through the mother. Remember, Mary is like any human being. He is dead and he is buried. And he will be called to account the day of judgment. They rely on relics. They rely on traditions. And they say these are at par, or they are even above the Bible. And the prayer of the saints and of the dead, and their merits on behalf of the living, and their baptism as well. They baptize the dead on behalf of the dead. This false religious system mostly venerates saints, and their preferred one is called Saint Francis, or images, even as I said, above Christ. That's denying the atonement of Christ and righteousness by faith doctrine, and call it an atma. If that term, an atma, go and search for it and see how strong that word is. And remember that they are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And deny Christ's death on our behalf and say it is just a representative, it's just a symbol. Christ never died for you. The system persecuted God's faithful during the Dark Ages for 1260 years, time times the divider of time, or 42 months. It's now apologizing for those horrific and horrendous acts of stoning, flogging God's chosen people. It burnt Latima and Redley at the stake, among others. It regards Luther, Calvin, Cranmer as religious extremists. This is the kind of system we're talking about. Another identifying character, it practices false doctrine of purgatory. That has talked about it. Indulgences, confessions, veneration of images, image worship. It claimed to have changed the Sabbath day from Saturday to Sunday, but based on human wisdom, authority, and traditions. Read their doctrines, read their books, and they make bold claims to this fact. The last but one crisis deems God and his name. It calls itself the vicar, or the son of God, or God himself on our earth, or his representative. And that man of sin is mentioned in 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3. Take your time, please. Try to put all these characteristics that we are mentioning here together to identify the system that we are talking about. If you are in there, please make a radical thing. The powers described in Revelation chapter 17, verse 4, is the power that for so many centuries maintained this portic sway over of the Christendom in Rome. The purple and scarlet color, the gold and precious stones, and the pearls vividly picture the magnificence and more than keenly pumped by the naughty system of Rome. Babylon is also charged with the sin of unlawful connection with the kings of this earth. It was by departure from the Lord, an alliance with the heathen, that the Jewish church became a harlot, and Rome corrupting itself in the manner by seeking the support of worldly powers, receives a like condemnation. This is from the book, The Great Controversy, page 382. I want you to read this from my favorite Christian author, the book, The Great Controversy. Please grab a copy of this book and read. It gives us so much to live with. People have forgotten about the Reformation. People have forgotten about the Dark Ages. People, the Wydasians, how they were subjected to this inhuman treatment. And now this same system, this regiopolitical system, is now parading itself and pleading for the past sins committed against these faithful people of God. Which system, which religious system is going around the world pleading for this past sins that has committed against God's people and calling for ecumenism and for reunification and calling for for religious in our contemporary society? There are fundamental principles which will be routed out and decisions will be made regarding them. Skepticism prevails everywhere. Ungodliness abounds. The faith of individual members of the church will be tested as though they were not another person in this world. This is the kind of system that we are all waiting for. And as present truth, we are supposed to preach this third angel's message, which is a matter of life and death. And we have to tell people with a telling force that they should come out of this false religious system. And that's exactly what we are doing.
Covers my sin each time I come into